We have saved $210 million in pension costs, employee costs, health care costs, while at the same time we continue our AAA credit rating, which is the highest in the nation for a city of our size, better than the state of Ohio, better than the United States government, and there are only 12 countries in the entire world that has a credit rating as strong as the city of Columbus. We have a new hotel, convention hotel downtown. We have new efforts that we've initiated on the south side, Franklinton, the work in Franklinton. We have identified as vacant and abandoned housing as one of our primary goals and efforts so that in 4 years from this year, we won't have the problem as we see it today. We won't see that kind of problem 4 years from now. We are tearing down 900 of the worst of the worst. We have resources we've identified and invested for rehabbing new houses, rehabbing existing houses that are now vacant and abandoned, and it's in full swing.
When you released your budget plan in November, you made mention of the success that the city has had in helping to create and retain jobs, 2,700 new jobs this year, 3,300 retained. I'm wondering if you saw the recent New York Times series chronicling the amount of tax abatements given out by cities, states, and the federal government. And you're familiar with Richard Florida, the author of The Creative Class. Richard Florida took the numbers from the New York Times series and did an analysis, and his conclusion is that there is no association between tax incentives and any measure of economic performance, whether it be income or unemployment. He said that companies that receive tax incentives expand the workforce more slowly than companies that do not. Companies that receive tax incentives overestimate the number of jobs created, and that companies don't usually use tax incentives as a factor in choosing their locations, in choosing where they're going to set up shop. I'm wondering if you saw that series and if you had any thoughts on the series and Mr. Florida's analysis.
You know, I read that article and I asked myself, well, you know, incentives aren't the only reason why jobs are created. And no one should ever think that it is. And that's not been my philosophy as mayor, to offer an incentive and expect that the economy will change as a result. I think that the reason why we are receiving all these jobs is not because of incentives, but because of the quality of life of our city. In fact, I think it's just the reverse of incentives. We actually had a tax increase back in 2009. And what we had was a balanced approach, combination of cuts and savings and increase in revenue. As a result of that strategy, we have been a stable city fiscally. We have invested in parks, in neighborhoods, in infrastructure when other cities have not been able to. And we have been able to keep a very high quality of life in the city of Columbus. And statistics bear that fact. So I'll give you an example of what I'm referring to. Forbes magazine named Columbus one of the best cities in the nation for working mothers. That's a quality of life issue. Bloomberg Businessweek said that Columbus was the only city in the state of Ohio to be among America's best cities. It wasn't because of tax incentives. Because of our quality of life in the city. Columbus was ranked by Fiscal Times publication as the number four city in the nation where you can get the biggest bang for your buck. It's not about tax incentives. It's about quality of life. Now, tax incentives can be an add-on to the quality of life. They do play a role, but they're not the only role. And I think anybody that makes an analysis that the only way you're going to grow the economy is through tax incentives, they're wrong. You use tax incentives to be more like a spearhead, a target for a certain business or a certain expansion. But it does not account for the growth in jobs at the level that you would expect because it's only associated with one business here and there, or one opportunity here and there to sort of push it over the finish line. And our tax incentives are mostly performance tax incentives. If you do what you say, if you are going to create a certain number of jobs, then this tax incentive will be applicable to you. If you do not, it will not be applicable to you. So they're not just willy-nilly tax incentives. They are specifically designed to address a circumstance, a business, or if we're in competition with another business from around the country, which we have been, that sometimes that pushes it across the line. And if a business decides to come to Columbus because of multiple factors, the quality of life and a tax incentive is better than them leaving the city of Columbus.
Part of the reason I ask is some of the listener feedback that I get really questions just how aggressive the city is in offering tax incentives to companies. And I'm wondering, given some of the data that Mr. Florida has uncovered and that the New York Times has uncovered, if there will be any thought in the future to maybe being not as aggressive.
Well, I think we have the right balance, because where we are aggressive in economic development is the quality of life. We're aggressive. 75-80% of a decision of a business is based upon what's it going to be like if they relocate here. Is there going to be housing to support our employees? Will you have the workforce? Do you have parks? Do you have bike paths? Do you have things for our young professionals to do? Is it a quality city? Those things matter, and they matter one heck of a lot. And any community that focuses on their economic development policy solely upon tax incentives, that community will be a failed community.
Toward workforce development, one of the things that you did this year was change the allocation of the local hotel-motel tax with an eye toward workforce development and job creation. Talk a little bit about that and the thinking behind that.
A great percentage of our local economy comes from the tourism industry. And there's been an investment of many millions, if not a couple of billion dollars, from people who don't even live here spending money in our city. If you spend money in our city as a result of visiting the city, you create jobs, you create opportunities, you create economic vitality and vibrancy. So we want to do better in this area. And that means we want to bring more tourists, more visitors to our city to spend more money in our city. When you spend more money in our city, it creates more jobs and opportunities in our city. So we opened up a hotel, 550-some rooms, convention-type hotel. We reorganized the bed tax allocation, whereby we are going to provide more resources to promote the city, to bring new jobs to the city and new visitors to our city. And we're also going to reorganize that bed tax to improve, provide more resources to social services as well as the arts.
And do I understand correctly that part of the plan is that in the future there will be no hotel-motel tax money going into the general fund?
That's correct.
What impact, if any, will that have on the general fund and the overall budget picture?
None, because we're an income tax city. The more jobs you have, the better off our general fund is.